division champion multiple time, who's could be in line for another title shot, maybe an X division, maybe a world title, or possibly a pink slip. Petey Williams, welcome to the teleconference. You are one of the four with a lucky briefcase following last week's Feast and Fired. What's going on, Petey?
Oh, how's it going, eh? Not much. Just waiting for this briefcase to be revealed to see if I'm going to get fired yet again from Impact, or if I'm going to get another world title shot or X Division title shot or maybe a tag team title shot.
What are you looking for?
Definitely not the pink slip. I would say that's on out of the four, that would probably rank number four.
Which is good to
hear.
Yeah.
X Division title, that's always been my bread and butter there. That's my go-to. I've been in the X Division since 2004. So, I know the game and how it's played there. I've had one world title shot. I would like a little taste of that again. And, I've never held the tag titles. So that would be interesting as well to see what kind of partner I could kind of get and – go from there. It's gonna be interesting.
Well, that's this Thursday. We'll find out your future and the future of three other gentlemen, and should certainly be very interesting come Impact on Thursday. Petey, how are things going otherwise for you? What else is on your mind these days?
Oh, I mean, lots of stuff. I just doing everything I can with wrestling, traveling with Impact as well, doing the one night only, you could call them pay-per-views, but they're, mostly live on Twitch or the Global Wrestling app there. So just loving those things. I know we're doing a lot of shows in Canada, how much I love wrestling in Canada in front of my home country. Working on a podcast myself with my co-host, Dennis Farrell. We just had some good guests on and stuff like that. We just got with iHeartRadio, which is a big deal for us. So I'm working on those things. And then just waiting for excited for the future of Impact as well. I know we're going back down to Orlando to film a bunch of shows, but, also I know they already announced that we're going to be going back to Canada for a handful of TV tapings as well, so I'm really, really excited for that.
Well, as you mentioned, April 22nd, Redemption live on pay-per-view. Then we do a few TV tapings for the next few days afterwards, and then June 1 and 2, we're up in Windsor. Should be a lot of excitement upcoming.
Yeah, Windsor, that's my hometown, the place where we'll be filming. I mean, that's where I actually went to school. We did one of our one night only pay-per-views that aired, I believe, last Friday on Twitch. That was a good event. I mean, good seating, good production and all that kind of stuff, good fans. So I'm really looking forward to, taking the TV tapings on the road, definitely.
What's bigger in Windsor, the Petey Williams statue or the Scott D'Amore statue?
Bigger physically, obviously, the Scott D'Amore statue. Bigger as in attendance that people, go to see, definitely my statue. Yep.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing that with you. We'll get a photo and maybe even hit Tim Hortons up in Canada.
Yeah, we'll order a large double-double from Tim Hortons, definitely.
Perfect. Sounds good. Media, we can open up for questions for Petey Williams right now. As always, I ask you to identify yourself, your media outlet, and please only one question at a time for Petey.
Q&A session has started. To ask your question, please press star 6.
Media, it is you hit star 6 as you've probably heard, star 6 to get in queue for questions.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, PT. This is Coach Pia.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing good. My question for you is, with the Lucha Underground and Impact tournament coming up, Which Lucha Underground ground star would you like to face?
If I had to choose. That's a good question. Probably Son of Havoc. I don't even know if he's in the tournament or whatnot. But I've always had when he wrestled as Matt Cross. We had great chemistry, had great matches together and everything. I would like to wrestle him underneath, as Son of Havoc. And, I think we've always had good matches and we could put on another great match for the wrestling fans. I mean, we started wrestling each other over 10 years ago. I look at us, we're old men, but we could still go in there and entertain the fans. So that'd probably be my top one right there, yeah.
Hey, Petey, John Cargan from the Wrestling Estate here. I wanted to ask you about, you're still under a year since your comeback to Impact Wrestling. How's it been so far?
It's been well under a year. August is when I came back. It's been good, really good, even though we've had change of management and all this kind of stuff. And part of it's tough because I see the guys that even going back in August, the guys that were with the company and they left to pursue other things. And it's always, I don't like to use the word sad because I know for them, it's kind of like a bittersweet thing. They're going on to other things and other, ventures and stuff like that. But I always hate to see people leave. I remember, when I first left Impact, I hated that I had to go and leave, kind of like your wrestling family. And I always hated to see people to go, but I understand that's what the business does to evolve. So I would say that's probably one of the cons of coming back, because you get attached to people and then you always see them go. The benefits though, I love all the new faces, new matches that I get to have and all that kind of stuff. I look at guys that are, younger and come up to me and they're like, "Hey Petey, I used to watch you when I was in high school on Impact and stuff like that. And now I'm wrestling them." So I remember saying that kind of stuff to guys like Jerry Lynn or whatever the case may be. Like, "Hey, I used to watch you and I always looked up to those people." So, it's kind of weird being in that spot now where, the younger X Division guys or the younger talent is looking up to me. But I really like being in that spot as well because, I'll do whatever I can to help them and their career and their character get over.
Hi, PTA, it's Lee Med from Live 107.3 over here in the UK. Thanks for taking the time and the call, my friend. It was just about a quick one. Obviously, back in the day when you were around at Impact first time, you were part of some stable, some factions, if you will. You were in the front line, you were in Team Canada. In the wrestling world, they seem to have disappeared, and now they're starting to make a comeback. Do you feel that there's still a place for that stable, that faction in modern wrestling storytelling?
Yeah, and I was just discussing this with one of my buddies as well. I think I really liked when there were stables and factions in wrestling. Going back to when I was in high school and stuff like that, when wrestling, I would say, was at its peak, like huge ratings and stuff like that with WWE and WCW before Impact was even around. And there was, all these factions and stables and stuff, and it was just so cool because they're like, "Oh, what stable's going to pop up? Who's going to be, the next faction and all that kind of stuff?" So I really like it, especially if you have a really deep roster with a lot of members on your roster. It's good because, say, if you have a faction of three or four guys, maybe all of them can't get a match on a show, but they can still make an appearance. Maybe one guy's wrestles and then the faction kind of is there for support and stuff like that. But I really enjoy it just because there's so much dynamic you could put into it storytelling wise, because, and that's how other people get over as well. Like, you can have a guy that's relatively new or is not over or something like that, and he's in a faction and they slowly build him up and he already has that rub from, the leader of the faction and stuff like that. And that's how, big stars are made and everything. So, I really liked it. I remember going back to Team Canada. It was myself. I was the captain. And then you had Scott D'Amore. And, who was the first breakout star to that? It was Eric Young. They weren't expecting him to be the breakout star, but he was played the super Eric character, and like his character was he was afraid of everything, his own pyro and stuff like that. And he broke out to be a star of the of that faction, and they weren't banking on that. Had he not been in that faction, would he have been a breakout star? I mean, who knows? I mean, maybe yes, maybe no. So I just think factions are good for wrestling. I don't think they should be overkilling it where everybody's in a faction, but I think there's a place for maybe, you know, two factions, maybe up to four in a company. So, I mean, that's what I believe.
Hi, PD. It's Oliver Newman here from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
My question is, a lot of wrestlers have come through Scott DeMore's training school, including yourself. What is it about Scott DeMore and his training that, you know, can get a wrestler ready for Impact Wrestling or beyond, you know, taking on the big, you know, the big... big wrestling companies. His training style. What gets you ready for that?
First it helps that Scott is pretty well known in the wrestling world. Well, it doesn't matter what company you work for. So, it's good if you align yourself with Scott. Before I started training with Scott, before Impact was around, I think he was, you know, doing a little bit of work with WCW, you know, doing enhancement matches and stuff like that. Maybe the same with WWE. But the one thing Scott really focuses on is, you know, what he doesn't want to do is just sign up, he takes your money. You know, a lot of wrestling schools do that, and I think it's wrong. He knew I had talent when I first started. You know, I had the basics down and all that kind of stuff, but at the time when I met him and I was going through wrestling school, I was still like going through college and working on my degree and diploma and stuff. And he was very, very strong adamant about, you get your college degree, you work on your school first. Once you get that, then we could go on and pursue, you know, your wrestling career. Because he understands that it's really important for wrestlers to have something to do life after wrestling. If you look at a wrestling career, it lasts like what, anywhere from, a career like where you make it like on a big company, let's say, for example, an average career could last from anywhere from 5 to 8 years. That would be a good career in a big company. So he understood that. So he wanted to make sure that all of his students had some sort of backup plan just in case it didn't work out for you. And that's what he did. And pretty much as soon as I graduated college, within months, he was like, hey, you know, they have a little angle for you called Team Canada and Impact, and I think you would be good for it. What do you think? And that was kind of my opening. But he made sure I was done school first. So Scott's not just the guy that, you know, is a good trainer and stuff like that. There's a lot of good trainers out there. And just Scott has connections. He cares about his students and everything. And, he makes sure that you're taken care of. Because, you know, he can't succeed unless you succeed. That's how business works.
Thank you.
Yep.
Hi, Ryan Bowman from thegorillaposition.com. When you first introduced your famed finishing maneuver to all of us, it captured everyone's attention, but it was criticized by some old school wrestling people. After all your success and now seeing so many other wrestlers do such crazy spots in the ring, do you feel like the Destroyer's been sort of justified now?
Well, it was a part of, I would say it was part of the evolution of pro wrestling that you see now. I mean, I think people forget I came up with that move 15 years ago, almost 15 years ago to the day. I believe it was March in 2003 that I was working a match with Matt Sydal in Highland, Indiana. And I said, hey, I got this move I want to try. And I didn't even know how to really, I've never practiced it before, nothing. I just kind of explained it to him the best I thought I could explain it, and he just says, okay, and we did it, and that was history, and people loved it, and I remember sitting down with, I was at a Tommy Dreamer show, and I remember sitting down next to Sammy Callahan, and he said, hey, man, I don't think you realize, but you started a revolution in professional wrestling, and I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you're the first person to actually take, like, a video game move and make it reality. Before that, like, there was no such thing. And then, you know, Sammy runs his own shows and stuff, and he says, you know, everybody's doing the move now and all that kind of stuff. So he's like, you've really started a revolution. And I didn't really think of that. Does it justify itself? I mean, you know, usually when a move comes to fruition, like 15 years ago, it's pretty much dead in the water by then. But, you know, anybody that watches my matches and stuff, my psychology around it, you know, the one thing I always try to do is do the Canadian Destroyer, because I know that's what's going to make me, you know, win the match. So, you know, that's how I kind of structure my matches and stuff like that. And, you know, I see same guys do it, like, well, that do a DDT in a match. You know, they structure the whole match trying to hit their finishing move. And, you know, it's all about psychology and stuff like that, not just about doing moves. And there's a lot of great athletes out there doing moves. I just wish, you know, maybe they could take a step back and make their moves mean something. I think the great wrestlers that are athletic and stuff and do athletic moves, the great wrestlers really make their athletic moves mean something. And that's what I try to do with the Canadian Destroyer.
Hey, Petey, John Corrigan again from the Wrestling Estate. I want to follow up on that about the Canadian Destroyer. Now that you are back full-time, have you seen less guys on the independent scene doing that move?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, whenever I'm on a show, I don't see anybody else do it. It's kind of like a respect thing. But then I also hear other wrestlers come up to me and they say, hey, Petey, thanks for coming back to wrestling. And at first I'm thinking like, oh, that's pretty cool they said that. They missed me. But then they follow up that sentence with, hey, Petey, thanks for coming back to wrestling. Now everybody's not doing the Canadian Destroyer anymore, so thank you very much. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of why you like that I came back. Okay, sure, whatever. But, yeah, it's definitely the use of it has definitely gone down because people got word that I'm back. So now if you do it, it just looks like, oh, you're doing Petey Williams' move. And nobody wants to be considered a knockoff or a ripoff or anything like that. But, you know, I mean, it's been done. I mean, it's so amazing. I'll ask people, like, that I'm wrestling or whatever, if they've ever taken the Destroyer before. And they're like, yeah, but it wasn't from me, you know. So, I mean, I remember back in the day, like in 2003, just explaining this move to people. People were, like, so afraid. It's like a backflip and you're landing on your head. They were so, so afraid. And now, and I used to have to talk people into it just because I was trying to get the move over. And now it's like I don't even ask to do the move in the match. The promoters ask me, yeah, we need to get it in here. And then you got wrestlers lining up wanting to take it and stuff like that from, like, the original person that did it and all that kind of stuff. So it's amazing that, you know, what has been created because, you know, in 50 years from now when I'm watching TV with my grandkids and stuff like that, there's going to be some kid that's probably not even born yet doing the move on TV. And I'd be like, oh, that was – That's what I did. That's what I contributed to professional wrestling. And, you know, not too many people say they contributed something that will last forever in pro wrestling.
Hi, Petey. This is Nick Hausman from WrestleZone.com. Thanks very much for taking the time to chat today.
Yeah, no problem.
Now, obviously, you are no stranger to Impact TNA, and you're back with the company now. I just wanted to know, from your perspective, what are the biggest differences now with this run in the locker room and management and the roster than previous runs you've had in the company?
The biggest difference, I would say the scheduling of the shows. You know, I back, you know, we'll say from 2004 to 2009 when I was there, we would film, like, a show on Monday that would air on Thursday, and then we would film a show on Tuesday that would air the following Thursday. So we're filming two shows. So it was really easy to keep the storylines in place of what you were doing with your character and all that kind of stuff. So now that we'll go down there, we'll film, I don't know, 10 to 12 shows, whatever the case may be, in a week. I constantly have to ask, like, Sanjay or Scott or something. I'm like, okay, is this happening before or after when this happens? Like, where are we at? Like, did this guy already win this match? Like, I don't, like, because we'll have to film over an order for certain things. It's just, it's a scheduling nightmare pretty much for, like, Sanjay and Scott and Don and Jimmy Jacobs and stuff like that. I understand that. and just to keep everything straight, it's really difficult. So I would say that's like the biggest change, and I would say that's the biggest challenge too, because I'm trying to remember where we're at in the show and all that kind of stuff, because, you know, certain things haven't aired yet and all that kind of stuff. I would say that's the biggest change. Also, going to Canada as well. I want to say we, prior to, you know, the past year, we've only been to Canada like maybe a handful of times for pay-per-views or house shows or TV tapings and all that stuff. And then, you know, you look at Bound for Glory last year in November, we did a whole week in Canada. And then we just did some one-night-only pay-per-views in Canada. And it's good to see them branch out outside of the United States and into Canada and stuff like that. So, I mean, I would say those are the biggest difference, just the scheduling and the locations of filming.
Hi, Petey. It's Don Davies from Swam Wrestling. I know you talked about your training with Scott D'Amore earlier a few minutes ago, but I'm just wondering about your guys' relationship, I guess, after the training, when you became a professional wrestler, and the years after being a pro wrestler, and I guess currently now where he's in the office, and you're the talent. So how has the relationship evolved over the years, and where is it now?
Well, I would say from the beginning, you know, Scott and I were strangers to each other. He was, you know, kind of just my trainer. And then, you know, he saw Scott's a great leader, I should say, and a great coach when it comes to wrestling and stuff like that. And he can see those that are dedicated and want to work hard and stuff like that, and those aren't. And, you know, he's gonna focus more on the ones that are dedicated and stuff like that, because that's what you want to focus on. You want to focus on, as a good leader, you want to focus on those that want to work hard, and you're gonna help develop those wrestlers. And, you know, our relationship just grew closer and closer. At one point, I actually took over training at his school and stuff like that, just because he knew how dedicated I was. And he knew I'd be able to teach the other students, you know, what he taught me and pass it along. And then as time grew on, as, you know, my first run in Impact and stuff, our relationship even, I would say, grew stronger. I almost looked up at him, like, even though he's only like a handful of years older than me, I looked at up to him like a father figure, because, you know, we had similar goals in life, and just, you know, it's not that he like took care of me, but I felt comfortable with him. He actually showed me the way and helped me get my foot in the wrestling business. And then, you know, as I would say the past 3 years, when I kind of took a break from wrestling, I kind of broke all ties to people I knew in wrestling and all that kind of stuff, and just focused on other things I wanted to focus on. And, you know, it was really amazing, because when Scott was the one that called me back up and kind of talked me into coming back to Impact. And it's like we picked up right where we left off. And what's good now that he knows that I've been wrestling for almost 18 years and I've been in this business, he actually expects and asks for more responsibilities out of me with, you know, coaching the younger guys and all that kind of stuff, and even – you know, take into account more so like my thoughts and opinions on the show and all that kind of stuff. So it's good that we kind of all like both grew up together and, you know, grew closer together, regardless of, you know, if we never see each other on a weekly basis like we did before.
Petey, we have a email question in from Luis Morales.
Mm-hmm.
If you get the tag title shot tomorrow night via Feast or Fired, who will you pick as your partner?
Oh, Sanjay Dutt, of course. I got to go to my best friend in Impact right now. You know, I don't even know if he's an active wrestler, so I don't even know if that would count, but I would first ask Sanjay Dutt. I would make our name the Seek and Destroy, and we would win the tag titles. If I had to go, oh, man, who would be number two? I don't know. I'd probably have to reach into my cell phone and call some people that aren't currently on Impact that maybe I was affiliated with before. But I would definitely find somebody. But Sanjay, definitely, for sure.
Hi, Petey. David Dunn with the New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. There seems to be a lot of buzz around Impact's Twitch channel in the lead up to the Impact versus Lucha Underground event, and then, you know, for people like me. Hello, can you hear me?
David, ask your question again, please.
Sorry. David Dunn, New Zealand Pro Wrestling Informer. Petey, there's a lot of buzz around the Impact Twitch channel, and then, for people who live overseas, GWN has been invaluable as well for New Zealanders, for example, to watch Impact. When you were first with TNA in the mid-2000s, did you have any idea the sort of the importance the internet would play in wrestling as, you know, the business evolved, and how have you seen the business change technologically over your years?
Yeah, I did definitely not foresee YouTube and all that kind of stuff blowing up as big as it had. Had I known that, I probably would have invested in it and be like a billionaire right now. So I definitely didn't know. Like, internet was kind of big. You kind of read up what's going on. I remember when I first started wrestling, I mean, I don't even know if Facebook was around. It might have just started coming out. I remember having a MySpace account. But there was none of these, like, YouTubes and all that kind of stuff. If you want to see the Canadian Destroyer when it first came out, you had to, like, buy a tape or DVD or watch it some other way. And nowadays, I mean, you could, like you said, Twitch. Like, there's apps. There's so many apps and stuff like that where there's just so much content out there right now. You can almost watch wrestling from the moment you wake up when you're eating breakfast in the morning till, you know, when you're laying in bed going to sleep. I didn't foresee this coming in the future, and especially like a 24/7 wrestling channel. I remember probably like 13 years ago or so in the UK, I believe there was something called the Wrestling Channel, and I thought that was like groundbreaking. I'm like, wow, you guys actually have a channel on your television set on cable where you can watch wrestling 24/7. That is like awesome, I thought. But, you know, you always had to watch whatever was on. Now you have, like, a pick. Like, what year do you want? Oh, you want 2008? Okay, 2008. Which paper, which show? Like, it's so crazy all the things you can watch now. So I definitely didn't foresee that coming, and it's had a huge impact on wrestling. And especially, like, you know, new guys getting signed to whatever company, you know, they can almost become stars before they're even on TV. Because there's so much content out there with YouTube and stuff like that, you could look it up and be following them around, and, you know, you don't have to worry about trading tapes anymore and waiting for snail mail and all that kind of stuff. So, I would say for wrestlers, it's definitely helped. You could keep in touch with fans all the time. I don't know, social media is a crazy thing.
Peter, we're going to get to another emailed question in, and I apologize in advance to Michael because I'm going to probably butcher up your last name. Michael Wallazin, he wants to know, Petey, who is your favorite Canadian wrestler?
Oh, come on, man. Bret Hart, obviously. I would say, you know, growing up, I've always been a Bret Hart fan. You could tell by, you know, I do the sharpshooter. That's like my go-to submission move and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've been playing a pro-Canadian character since 2004. Definitely he's had a huge impact. Even when you watch his – just so much of the little things that he does, like technically-wise, he was great executing moves and stuff like that. Even like when his selling, his subtleness and everything just adds so much to his matches and everything. And even when he – you know, he used to speak on the mic to the fans. You actually, even though he didn't have any, like, big, best there is, best there was, best there ever will be, he had the one catchphrase. But when he spoke with such conviction that you believed him. Like, I remember that whole Canada versus U.S. thing. You know, you believed, and, like, the fans believed, too. Like, wow, this guy, you know, really loves his country. I feel the same way. I really love Canada. That's where I'm from. I think any Canadian is very patriotic. And, I would say he's definitely my favorite Canadian wrestler of all time.
Have you met him?
Oh, yeah, numerous times.
Hey, Petey. Mike Kellum from ProWrestling.com. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. Thank you.
I just wanted to ask, the old school X Division style has kind of become the framework for what almost like all of the high-flying indie style is nowadays. I just kind of wanted to ask, in your travels, is there anybody off the top of your head, maybe one or two or three people that you have seen nowadays that you're like, man, we need this person in the X Division, or like you could build, you know, obviously you have Trevor Lee and Desmond Xavier and Ty G, a bunch of other guys who are great in the X Division right now, but is there anyone that comes to mind right now that you're like, you would love to have on Impact every single week?
That's a good question. But, I mean, you are right about, you know, you don't realize back in, let's say, like 2004 or 5, all that kind of stuff, that you were, like, that was, like, the glory day of the X Division. Like, that's what, like, started it all. You didn't know you were molding the framework for not only high-flying stuff, but, like, you watch any wrestling match in any wrestling company and around the world right now. If you go back to 2005, you're like, wow, these guys were ahead of their time. You know, because that's like we molded it into like that's kind of what it is nowadays. But, you know, I don't know if I have an answer to that question for who stood out on the indies for me. And the thing is I'm a little out of touch with wrestling, so I don't know if you know, these guys are signed other places and stuff like that, but I just remember seeing when I came back, you know, working for like Tommy Dreamer and stuff and up in Smash Wrestling in Toronto, you know, they had Jeff Cobb, you know, who's like, I think he has like legit records for powerlifting and stuff like that, but he could do like moonsaults and stuff, and he's built like a 280-pound guy, and he's just so strong. Like that guy would be pretty, even though he's like a bigger heavyweight type guy, he wrestles that X Division style, and he's just, you know, he's great to watch. I'm trying to think of who else. You put me on the spot here, and I didn't know I was going to have to name all.
Sorry about that.
All these guys. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, one guy that really stood out when I first came back in August, just seeing him, I'm like, wow, who's this guy, and why have I never heard of him before? So, and I don't know if he signed with other companies or whatever the case may be, but, yeah, he would definitely do good in the X Division, I would say. I always just look for something different. Rather than who's the best high flyer and stuff like that. Because, I mean, nowadays, you know, everybody can do backflips and 450s and all that kind of stuff. And back when I first started, if you could do that, like, you were special. Now it's almost like it's a prerequisite to having to do it just to get your foot in the door in professional wrestling.
Peter, we got an email question from Gonzi Strong. He wants to know, what was your best match in Impact?
Well, I would say recently, and, you know, when I think best match, I just think of other things rather than the mechanics of the match itself. It's when I wrestled Eli Drake in Ottawa for the heavyweight title there. It was just everything lined up. Like, we were in my home country. It was, like, the main event of Impact, like, 2 weeks after Bound for Glory. And he was coming off a hot feud with Johnny Impact. And then the next day after Bound for Glory, I came out. I challenged him to the following week, you know, for the title. He accepted. So I was pretty much his first, you know, mini feud right off of Bound for Glory, our biggest pay-per-view of the year. And, yeah, and we went out there. I thought the match was good. You know, I felt really good about it. And just I've never had a world title shot ever in my life. And just to have that in my home country, that was probably my favorite match recently. If I had to go back, I would say probably, against, you know, that's a good question. I really like my match. I don't remember what year it was, but it was Slammiversary against Frankie Kazarian. I was just coming off of a broken orbital bone. That was one of my favorites too. And then a match against Chris Sabin, I believe it was December of 2004. That was one of my favorites as well. So, you know, that was like, I would say my top three. A lot of people say that it was the Ultimate X match between myself, AJ Styles, and Chris Sabin. I really like that one. it wasn't like a singles match. It was more of a gimmick match because the Ultimate X. So that's why I wouldn't pick it as one of my favorite actual matches.
Hi again, Pete. It's Oliver Newman here from Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast. And the question I wanted to ask is there any X Division legends from the past, if you could, bring them back into the new X Division in Impact Wrestling? Who would you bring?
That's another good question. That was like, who would I want to see in the X Division? Man, I wish I had these lists. You know, if you gave me some time to actually go through and think about it, I could probably answer all these. I always liked Loki. I remember, and I've told this to him, to his face. I said, you know, I didn't like wrestling him before. I didn't understand his style. It was difficult and stuff like that. But by the end of his one run there when he was Senshi, man, I almost cried when he left because I loved wrestling him by the end of his run there. So, you know, I always hate to see him go. Obviously I would like Loki back. Amazing Red, too. I don't know what he's up to nowadays, but, man, I love me some Amazing Red. Let's see. Who else? I mean, I would say those two are the top. And then, obviously, all my buddies I'd like to have back there, but, you know, they're under contract other places. I think that's low-key and Red.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
Hi, Petey. This is BQ from the Impact Lounge. I've got kind of a two-question for you, or a two-parter, I should say. So last time we spoke to you, I don't think you were so sure you were going to be around past the post-Bound for Glory tapings, and here we are in March. So how did it come about that you're still here with the company? And then the second part is, how's it been for your kids to see you on TV, and how's it been knowing that they're watching you, especially with these great Canadian reactions that we see?
So the first part, you know, I just never know what the next day is going to bring after, you know, a certain set of tapings. I've already spoke with Impact. I will be at, you know, Redemption in April, and the set of tapings after that. And after that, you know, nothing's set in stone. So, I don't want to say like, yeah, I'll be here for, you know, I have a 3-year contract or anything like that. So expect me to be here for 3 years. I can't say that, but what I can say is I'll be at the next set of tapings. That's for sure. I'm already locked in for that. Then the second part, what was the second part of the question?
Well, I was saying, how is their reaction, and then just you, you know, knowing that they're watching you.
You know, that's been pretty special, 'cause that's been part of my, part of what the more kind of got me to come back. He's like, oh, you know, I thought your kids might want to see what you used to do. So it's good. I remember, you know, my wife, we had a local show kind of, but it was aired for a one night only, just pretty close to my house. And it was great seeing that she brought all three kids and, you know, just to see their dad, even though we were in the U.S., when I came out of the crowd, the big reception I got, we're pretty close to Canada, but so a lot of Canadian fans were there. And, you know, my kids were just like, wow, that's my daddy. Like, people are cheering for him. He's just my daddy at home kind of deal. So, man, it was one of the most, like, special things, you know. It just brought a tear to my eye. You know, it was really special. So just, you know, doing it this time, like, you're just, I didn't have kids the first time I was with Impact. So now, you know, your life changes. You know, wrestling used to come first and foremost to me always, you know, and now, you know, that's not it anymore. As much as I love wrestling, I'm always going to love wrestling up until I'm like 100 years old. You know, my kids, my family comes first now, and wrestling, you know, comes second. And, but it doesn't mean that I still don't love it. I just, you know, I love my family and my kids more.